This is a UK Carcast podcast. This is Behind the Canvas, Episode 2, Lough Lim. Hello and welcome to the second episode of Behind the Canvas, the sister podcast to UK Carcast, concentrating on artists of all types. In this episode, I speak to Lough Lim.
I'm speaking to a California-based artist, Lough Lim. Lough has been involved on a number of different sets, including sets for Rittenhouse, Sad Little, Upper Deck, and Bragent, as well as doing commissions and his own stuff. Lough, welcome to Behind the Canvas.
Hi, thank you, Paul, and thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. I mentioned you'd worked for a number of car companies, and obviously you've done your own stuff as well, and you do commissions. How did you get involved in, get interested in art and trading cards, and how did you get your break into doing the sketch cards themselves?
Well, I've always drawn since I was little. I remember seeing the Godzilla movies, and I used to draw monsters as a little kid. Then as I grew, I moved on to comic books during the middle school age, and that's when I was exposed to mainstream comic books, superheroes, and I was making my way with drawings for that. And in 2008, I saw this post on DeviantArt asking for artists for sketch cards, which I had no idea what they were at the time.
Yeah.
But all I knew was it was an opportunity to draw Marvel characters. Mm. And when I saw the post, it was already 2 weeks late. And I was told by some other people that it fills in pretty fast. And it was actually a call for Marvel Masterpiece 3.
The Upper Deck set, yeah?
Yes,
yeah.
From Upper Deck. And since it was already 2 weeks past that I saw the notice, I figured it was too late for me. But then a week or two later, there was another post asking people send in serious submissions. So I saw that as an opportunity to send in my submission. And I heard from Mark Irwin, who was Upper Deck's art director at the time.
Yeah.
And I was able to get on the Marvel Masterpieces 3 set.
Right. How many cards did you do for that set?
I did 150.
Right.
Having no idea that that might be a lot of cards.
Mm-hmm.
But from the deadline that I saw, it was pretty easy for me to do, and I actually finished with plenty of time to spare.
Mm-hmm. That Marvel Masterpieces set was a pretty good one to get your break on too, because I mean it's an incredibly popular series.
Well, the thing for me was it was a Marvel property, and also it was working for Upper Deck as well, you know, respectively big names in their own industry.
Yeah.
So I was just happy to be drawing characters I grew up with.
Was that your first exposure to what we might call the commercial side of art and sketching?
Yes, but I actually didn't know what it was at the time when I was doing it. I saw, when I got my artist proofs for the set, I put them on eBay, and I actually saw Women of Marvel cards on eBay, and I thought they were like homemade cards. Other people just trying to mimic the sketch cards that I was doing for Upper Deck. I had no idea there were all these other companies, sketch card companies with other cards out there.
Yeah. Women of Marvel, of course, being the Rittenhouse archive set, which Rittenhouse have been doing cards for quite some time. So that's quite a good story.
Yeah, actually, the way I found out about the rest of the sketch card companies was through a link from eBay, which I found Scoundrel, the art community board.
Right.
Then it just opened the whole world to me, and I was like, wow, I didn't know there were so many sets and companies out there for this. Mm. And I was talking to Fivefinity Steven. Mm-hmm. I asked him about doing some charity cards for his March of Dimes card.
Oh, yes, of course. There's quite a few people got involved with that, yeah.
Yes, from that, I got onto the Greatest American Heroes card, and then Zombies versus Cheerleaders,
yeah.
And, Moonstone. And after that, I just kept on getting work. I sent some samples to Rittenhouse. They liked what I did and had me on Marvel 70th Anniversary,
right.
Which was my first set for them. And then I was fortunate enough that they liked my work to have them make me the incentive artist for their last set. set, which was Marvel's Heroes and Villains.
Yeah.
It moved pretty quick for me, luckily.
Yeah, once you got that ball rolling, it rolled and rolled and rolled.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That ball works coming in.
Earlier this year, I had like 8 sets at once.
Wow.
And I started turning down work.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much to handle. I was just signing on to whatever came my way.
Which, when you're getting started in the industry, is the best thing to do, I suppose, because it means you do get your name out there and you can get on as many sets as possible. And then once you prove yourself.
It's good and it's bad, because when you're new, you don't actually know how much you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of have to limit yourself, which luckily I did. I mean, still 8 sets is a lot, but you know, I would have had more.
That's a heck of a lot. I know people complain when they're working on one set, but 8 is a heck of a lot.
Well, what was crazy was they basically had sort of the same deadline.
Ah.
On those sets. So, you know, it was kind of hectic, and I was pretty busy.
So that was 26-hour days, was it?
It was just sketch card all day.
You must have been getting to the point where you're thinking, I don't want to see a piece of card and a pen ever again.
Well, you know, I like the properties that I was working on, so with that, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you're in was through Marvel, but obviously some of the other sets you've worked on since haven't been Marvel. They've been other more unique properties. Do you have a particular favourite for the sort of thing you like to do? I mean, do you prefer doing the Marvel, or are you more keen to use your imagination and stretch onto other things?
Well, I grown up with Marvel characters, and I've always been a fan of Marvel, but Fifinity had Voltron a while back, and growing up in the 80s, I'd love Voltron, and I was real happy to just be able to work on something like that.
Mm.
With sketch cards, I'll do whatever properties available, just because I like drawing, but obviously Marvel properties, or the bigger known properties, I like working on them more just because it's something I'm familiar with.
Yeah. What sort of style would you describe yourself as having? Or do you vary?
My style, I've been told that I have more of a retro style, sort of 90s.
More of a classic comic book sort of style. Classic,
yeah. Basically, I grew up with the comics from the 90s, so my style sort of goes there, but it's pretty clean, my work.
Yeah.
My line work's pretty clean. It's not messy. Nice for coloring. I'm not a colorist, so I try, but I'm not as good as a lot of other people around. I could draw.
Yeah. Did you have any formal training, or was it all pretty much what you've picked up from reading the comic books and looking at other artworks and things like that?
I'm mostly self-taught. I haven't really had any training. The downside to that for me is that I don't really know art terms.
Mm-hmm.
When people are talking art, I really have no clue what they're talking about.
You know what you do. Yeah, you know what you do, and you've got your own terms for it. So
yeah, I just do it and not really know what I'm exactly doing.
Sure.
You know, like for muscles and things like that, I learned that when I was in high school.
Mm.
What I did was basically look at some comics, and I had muscle magazines.
Right.
At that time, I worked out, you know, as a teenager.
Most guys
work out.
Yeah.
So I studied muscle by working out myself and looking at muscle magazines as well as comics and comparing how the comic book artist would interpret the muscles from actual real life muscles.
Yeah.
What really helped me was just observation. I'd go to the park and just look at people.
Yeah.
Just to understand why certain muscles move a certain way just by looking at somebody doing something. And once you get that understanding in your head, it translates to the drawing, makes it easier to draw.
Yeah.
Because you know why the muscle's moving.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you personally feel you're better at the outlines rather than the coloring. What sort of techniques do you use?
I'm a pen and ink. Originally, I just pencil, but since I started doing sketch cards, it's been inks and colors, markers, Copics for me.
I was going to ask you where you fell on that debate. Is you on the Copic side of things, are you?
Well, you know, I'm like I mentioned, I'm not a colorist, so I just took whatever, the first thing I grabbed onto were Copics, and, you know, not knowing any better with anything else, that's what I stick with.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the only thing I've used. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm never really coloring anything else before sketch cards. That's the only thing I've used, so I have no problems with it, so might as well stick with it.
Well, if you found something that works for you, then you stick with it, yeah. Do you have any particular favorite artists, whether it be comic book artists or card artists? I mean, you've been in the card side of things long enough now to get an idea of what other people are doing.
Well, I grew up as a huge Arthur Adams fan.
Yeah.
And I do sometimes hear people saying they see some of his work in what I do, mm-hmm. even though sometimes I don't see it myself. I hear that pretty often. There's plenty of comic book artists that I admire. Jim Lee, Joel Madureira, Scott Campbell. List goes on and on with comic books. Mm-hmm. But as far as sketch card goes, I am not a collector.
Right.
So I mainly just draw and stick to myself. Whatever other people's doing, I have no idea.
No,
I sort of stick to myself. Often.
Yeah. We mentioned already the two big companies that you work for, which is Rittenhouse and Upper Deck. Of course, you have done work for other companies. You already mentioned Fivefinity. But you've been involved with sets from Sad Little and Raging. What's this with those?
With Sad Littles, I did Rance Angels, Damsels and Dinosaurs, mm-hmm. and Dreamers of Darkness. For the Bregan set, I did the monster movie posters.
Oh, right, yeah.
Golden Age of Heroes.
But both those two companies, you had slightly different source material, really. I mean, the Raging sets, you have some sort of a reference. You've got the original posters, pictures of the original posters to emulate, and I know a large part of the Raging set is reproducing in your own style some of the posters. Whereas Sad Littles, you have to come up with your own types of characters for those.
You basically draw whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just come up with the stuff. It's more of a freedom with unknown properties like that. It makes it fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you mentioned earlier that having grown up with Marvel, you like doing those sort of things. Was it much of a stretch to do cards where you have to actually come up with the look and create it yourself instead of using some sort of a reference for that?
No, I mean, you know, the sets they had, it was basically some kind of hot female.
Yeah.
Something added on to that.
A zombie or a dinosaur or whatever, yeah.
Then, you know, you have monsters, which basically is pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
Especially for growing up loving monsters.
Well, exactly, yeah. You mentioned Godzilla, so.
Yeah. So, it wasn't hard to do at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something that I liked.
You mentioned you had 8 sets you were working on earlier in the year. Things presumably have quietened down from that. Is there anything else any set you're working on at the moment that you can talk about, or is it all hush-hush?
Right now, I'm working on Lady Death.
All right.
Yeah, I actually wasn't going to submit work for them, but decided in the last minute I had one drawing that I could send in and see what happens, and I was fortunate to get accepted into the set. The other set, I can't really mention.
Fair enough. You're hard at work on it at the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the Lady Death set for at the moment?
Lady Death is from Fivefinity.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Fivefinity, they've been acquiring license to several properties, and they're doing well.
They're quite prolific, aren't they? I mean, they've had a number of sets out this year. They have only really been going last year, yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
They are doing amazingly well.
They've grown by leaps and bounds.
And a lot of their success is purely down to word of mouth, because they don't advertise a huge amount. They rely very much on message boards and Twitter and a lot of the social networking to get their work out there.
And they always sell out.
Mm, so, exactly. I think they've taken stands at a couple of shows. I'm trying to think. I think they have done that. You yourself, do you do shows?
I recently went to Long Beach Comic Con, the second year they had it, and I was able to meet several artists, new people that I've never met that are trying to get into sketch cards.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun show. It's one of the few shows that you actually get to meet the artist, spend time and speak with the artist.
Yeah.
No rush. It's a very artist-friendly show, and I'm already set to go next year.
Oh, cool. So you enjoyed your experience, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you do well at the show, or was it the sort of show where you had time to relax and chill and chat?
I did okay. I didn't bring much. Mm. I'm sort of new with cons, so
yeah.
I didn't really know. I learned a few things. One of the big ones is basically I should be charging more than what I was selling for.
That's a big...
What the artists were telling me. Yeah.
That's a big lesson to learn.
Yeah, they told me for the quality of work that I was doing, it should be charged more.
Yeah, so it's useful feedback to get from fellow artists. You'd be charging more than that. But did you get much in the way of feedback from the car companies or from collectors, or do you keep your head down and just concentrate on doing what you do
for the show?
Oh, for anything really, for any of your work.
At the show, I met several fans, which was nice. I like talking to people, enjoy my work. I don't really do that many commissions,
mm-hmm.
especially when I'm working on a set.
Yeah.
Basically, because I don't like like having people wait. So I like to focus on my set work first. Between sets, I might open commission, but yeah, I don't really have too much contact with collectors in that regard.
No, obviously, if you're as busy as you are working on sets, then finding time to do commissions is tricky. And it's a good attitude to have that you don't want to make people wait. So rather than do that, you hold off taking commissions.
Yeah, I mean, some people, they tell me they want to leave a deposit or pay for it first, but I don't feel it's right for me to do a set of money if I'm not doing the work within a given time.
Yeah. You've built up a sizable enough body of work that you would have fans that would probably be interested in taking commissions. I mean, that's something you may be thinking in future of expanding on, or are you happy with the way things are at the moment?
Well, you know, commissions are always good.
They pay slightly better, I say.
Yeah. I do have artist proofs and APA e-cards that I still have, but I don't open commission just because I don't feel that I have the time for it.
Yeah. So,
it is something I would want to do more of.
Yeah, you do open slots when you've got some availability anyway. It just doesn't tend to be very often.
Oh, I rarely make announcements for commissions.
Mm-hmm. So
that's just because I'm busy trying to finish the set.
Which is a good position to be in. If you've got constant work going on, then you know you've got something that you can be doing all the time.
Well, the thing is, I will be cutting back on the hard work just so that I could focus more on sequentials or comic work. Because the cards this past year, it's been constant for me, and I haven't had time for anything else. Actually, I got into sketch card by accident. Not knowing what they were, my goal was to actually get into comic books as a penciler.
Yeah.
So it's a sidetrack, but it's a pleasant one.
It's a useful one, certainly. Yeah. How are your plans for getting into doing comic work going on? Have you submitted to anybody for that?
The thing is, I haven't drawn sequentials in quite a while. I've always had nice reviews where they didn't really tell me it was bad. There were things I could improve on. That's what I'll be working on. I don't see myself drawing comics right away. I know it's going to take time.
Yeah, it's a very competitive market as well. There's a lot of artists out there fighting to get onto some of the various comics.
Oh, yeah, and the thing I don't want to do is to accept work and not be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had offers to draw books, but I don't feel myself ready yet to actually do the actual work.
Sure. So it's a case of getting yourself into that frame of mind where you feel you are ready and then taking it on.
Yeah, for me, I take pride in my work and I don't want to bring anything less than I could do that I would be proud of.
What would be your wishes for working on comic books?
Well, actually, I'm a huge X-Men fan, particularly Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I would want to do a couple issues of Wolverine.
Sure.
Some X-Men book would be nice. And, you know, you can't, if you're going to work for Marvel, you got to work with some of the Avengers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many characters to choose from. So if you're going to do a team book, the Avengers are the way to go.
There's so much flexibility involved there. You can have so many different possibilities.
Yeah, depending on the story.
Of course. You're online, obviously. Yeah, your website is lachlim.com. That's lachlim.com.
Yes.
And you're also on Deviant. What's your address for Deviant?
It's actually LAKCOO. number2letteru.deviantart.com.
Okay.
I don't really post as much as before just because I'm focusing on work more.
Yeah, of course.
But, there are some stuff you could see that's not sketch card related.
Yeah. So it's a useful place, either there or your website. They're useful places to go if people want to get an idea of the sort of stuff you've done and to see whether you're doing any commissions at any time if you've got any gaps going in.
Yeah, or if anyone would like to be a friend on Facebook, I'm on Facebook. Nobody else has my name, so you could do a search.
Okay. You could do a search for it.
You'll go directly to my profile page.
Yeah, and you have links, I know, on your main website, so to a lot of these places, so people can go there. Are you on Twitter, or is Twitter not somewhere you've looked at yet?
I actually signed on to Twitter, but I have never Twittered at all. And I'm not a text person, so
right.
I don't think I'll ever use it. I have followers, but they're following a shadow.
I don't tend to text very much either. I do Twitter. I do tweet.
I mean,
it does it occasionally. But
when you have Facebook, you know,
yeah.
I don't think you really need Twitter as much.
No, it's. I mean, Twitter is a useful little tool for providing links quickly, but that's really a little more than that. Most of the time I spend exchanging tweets with artists is taking pot shots at each other in a friendly way.
I don't know why I even joined it.
Well, I suppose if for no other reason, then it protects your ID and you know nobody else is going to be posting with your ID, which is a useful one to have. So you saved it for that.
Yeah, well, my ID is basically same for everything, you know, Laku to you.
Yeah.
I use that screen name basically everywhere I go, so less confusing for people to see that name and, you know, be like, who are you?
Sure. Okay, well, that's usual to know. You sell on eBay? I think you said you sold a few things on eBay. Do you still do that, or is that not
I do it once in a while. I personally don't really sell often, you know, basically commissions and whatever I sell, I don't do that often. I probably should because I need the money.
Yeah. you have your APs and things occasionally that you must make available, do you?
I have APs from the Marvel Heroes and Villains set that was just given to me, but I'm planning to keep like 3 of them. I have this idea that I want to put on a card, and I'm just going to fill it with as many characters as I possibly can.
Oh, wow.
So far, the most I've done is 52 characters on a card.
Wow, which is a lot of characters on a 2.5 by 6.
Well, basically, that card was basically the recreation of Art Adams' Avengers Classic #1. I like to stay within the borders. I don't draw outside the red guideline border.
Yeah.
So you won't see like my drawing going to the cutoff edge.
No.
I try to keep it within the border, and I'm planning to use 3 of those cards and seeing how many characters I get on the card.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get 100 in there.
At which point you're going to need the money for an ophthalmologist because your eye strain is going to be incredible.
Well, you know, with my cards, I like each character to be able to be seen clearly. You don't have to guess. Even though it's a very tiny character drawing,
you can identify them.
Guess who it is.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and with this these APs, I think it's perfect because I could work on them whenever I want. And the title, you know, Marvel Heroes and Villains, basically I'm going to draw a whole bunch of heroes and villains fighting on battle scene.
That'll be fantastic. You'll be posting that up online somewhere as soon as you've done it, I hope.
Well, soon as it's approved.
Of course.
Yeah, that's going to be my work in process. It won't happen anytime soon, but that's my plan for those cards.
It sounds absolutely incredible, and I look forward to seeing it when you do eventually complete it. Good luck with that. It's going to be just quite some task. Luck, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Thank you very much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great fun talking to artists because they always give you little insights into the way they work, and you have been no exception. So thank you very much indeed for coming on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. I've been speaking to Lach Lim, and you can find more information about him on his website, which is lachlim.com, and there will be a link to that website on the UK CarCast links page. My thanks once again to Lach Lim for agreeing to come on to the podcast for that interview. Since recording it, Lach informs me that he's set up a group on Facebook. If you're in any way interested in sketch cards and artists, go along to facebook.com and do a search for Sketch Card Fanatics. You'll find a huge bunch of artists and collectors all in that group, and you'll be more than welcome. Episode 3 will feature the decidedly glittery artist Beck Seashells, aka Becca Doodles. I'm hoping to get that one out by the end of January. I have an episode of UK CarCast to record and put online before that. So watch this space towards the end of January 2011. And given that this is the first podcast from UK CarCast in the new year, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all listeners a very happy 2011. Behind the Canvas is recorded using Panmela for Skype on a Windows XP PC using a Logitech USB headset. It's edited using Audacity and is compiled using GarageBand on an Apple Mac G4. MP3 hosting is courtesy of the Internet Archive at archive.org. Web service is provided by Amin World, 1&1, Google Sites and Gmail. Behind the Canvas is released under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the Creative Commons license, please visit the UK CarCast website at cardcast.co.uk. If you'd like to get in touch with me, at Behind the Canvas. Use the UK Carcast email address. That's ukcarcast@googlemail.com. That's ukcarcast@googlemail.com. Alternatively, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at ukcarcast. And there's a fan page and a group set up on Facebook. Do a search for UK Carcast and you'll find it there. If you search for UK Space Cardcast on Facebook, you'll find it. That's all for episode 2. Episode 3 will be along in due course. In the meantime, don't forget to support your local artist. And in this global economy, local artist could be anywhere.